Thank you for joining me on the Bible Baptist Hour. We come to you each Sunday morning, same time, same place, and hopefully not with the same message every time. We've been studying the book of James. We're in chapter 4 to start out with, and we will get into chapter 5 before today's out with. But let me give you some information here while I got your attention. Bible Baptist Church is located on the east side of the road, so no matter which way you come into town, you'll find us. And right across the street from our church, big white building, is our parking lot with a big white sign in it telling you about our church services. And we have Sunday school at 9:45 beginning, and then we have a class for all of the people. Teenage time at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Our other youth group is on Thursday night, which is our midweek service, and that's at 7 o'clock. Any of these services and all these services, you're welcome to. We'd love to meet you. Now listen, because you come to church doesn't mean that you like it. It doesn't mean that this is the place for you, but at least you can give it a try. Give it a whirl, as they say. And we hope that we can be helpful to you in that way, maybe. We'd love to shake your hand. We have had people visit over the years, and when we find out they visited because they heard us on the radio, it always excites us to know that somebody's listening. If that somebody's you, please take attention to the end of our program today, where our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. And I don't know how to emphasize any more than this. We need to hear from you. I know it doesn't seem like it's possible for you to do that, but as a non-commercial educational radio station, we need to hear from our listeners. So please take the time to drop us a note and let us know. All right, I don't think there's much more for me to say other than please, again, listen closely as our announcer will be giving you some information. Copy it down and let us know you listen. Thank you. And as we said, we're in lesson number 10 in the book of James. And we want to hope it's been helpful to you in some way. We still got about, I think, 3 more lessons to go yet, something like that. We'll see how it ends out. We ended up last week talking about the penalty or the purpose of the law, and we said that we're free from the penalty of the law, but not the purpose of the law. See, under the law, a man speaking against his brother was bringing judgment up against the law. That is, if the law says to love him and a man speaks against him, then he was becoming an authority above the law. The law told him to do one thing, he did another, and was or is judging it. The law said not to bear witness against your neighbor, Exodus 20, verse 16, and he did so. Thus, he became above the law. The law said he was to love his neighbor, and yet he didn't. Thus, he set himself above the law. He had become a judge of the law. Hence, as James said earlier, he was guilty of the whole law. It's a touchy subject because so many people believe that the law is something that saves you, but it doesn't. The law violated is a tough thing, because when I violate the law, I violate what Jesus said for me not to do, and therefore I place myself above him. In the practical sense, it's still true. In Romans 13:9, Paul says this, we're not to bear false witness. Thus we learn that the saint, while not under the law, is to keep and be obedient to the law. It will not save anybody. It won't get you to heaven. And nor will it keep you saved. Some people think if they obey the law, they're kept safe. You can't obey it. Because he said this, breaking the law has never been recommended in either testament. If we violate the law, James says in one place, then we're guilty of the whole law. We just mentioned that. In verse 12 here, and this would be in chapter 4, verse 12, he said, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We kind of discussed this already, but let's do it again. If there's any question as to the person to whom it is referring to, is James is referring to those who try to live under the law. And in particularly, if we're talking about the tribulation Jew, in Isaiah 33, verse 22, reveals that the Lord is the lawgiver. And, of course, we know who was that gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. And if you don't, I'll tell you, it was God. In Exodus 16, 4, the Lord declares this law to be his law. So you understand that while it's called Moses' law, and it is because it was given to Moses to give to the people, it's God's law that he gave to Moses. He was the one who wrote it on the Ten Commandments. Moses didn't dictate it to the Lord. Lord, now you make rule number 9 and rule number 10 and rule number 1. So who is it that has a right to judge another when there's not one who gives, when they're not the ones who gave the law? Judging is something that ought to be left to the one who gave the law. We're warned about judging in Romans 14. In four different verses, let me give them to you. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 10, verse 13. That's Romans 3, Romans 14, 3, 4, 10, and 13. And yet we find that multitudes of saints spend their time judging one another like they have good sense. The only person qualified to judge another one is the one who wrote the law. You know, the one who wrote the law could bend that law. See what he mean? Didn't David deserve the death penalty for the adultery and the murder of Uriah the Hittite? And what the Lord, Nathan said, the Lord has put away thy... So you see, when you go using the law to judge other people against the law, you're putting yourself above the law, and you're putting yourself on the same level as God. Better be careful. The only person qualified to judge anyone is the one who wrote the law. There is one allowance to judging. Paul tells us that spiritual man judges all things in 1 Corinthians 2:15. We're not judges of the people, but maybe be judges of things. In Matthew 7, he gives you that tree that grows the fruit. If it's, you know a tree by the fruit, okay. All right, you're judging the fruit, not the person. You're judging the fruit. Now in verse 13, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell again. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. This verse has always been kind of special to me because my dad was a pastor, and the last message he preached and was in James chapter 4, verse 14. He died that afternoon in bed on a Sunday. So you see, don't go claiming you got tomorrow or the next day or a year from now. You say, the Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to do this. The Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to go here. The Lord willing, I'll do that. There is certainly much practical, or we might call spiritual, application here. The context is certainly a warning to the Jew of the tribulation about the brevity of life. Buying and selling is something that they can only be done in the period of time if one has the mark of the beast, according to Revelation 13:17. So many saints today are worried about the mark, 666 and all kinds of stuff. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, that's not for you, okay? Get over it, quit crying about it, whining about it. It's not you. Live right, do right. Still should live right and still should do right. Those who don't take the mark then would be taking a chance of buying or selling, and their life would certainly be that of a vapor. They got caught doing it without it. If they cannot buy anything, eventually they will not eat, thus they would die. If they get caught buying or selling without the mark, they would be put to death. Now, again, I'm telling you, that's not you. You understand that? That's the Jew in the tribulation. And, you know, we see our machines coming up, and you pass your card over it, and eventually they'll probably have it in your hand. People say, oh, that's cool. You know, I don't have to carry a card around. That's cool. Yeah, you're right. It is. Somebody, a preacher friend of mine once said, you know, you got to admit the devil's system is perfect. It is. get a mark on your children and put a tag in them, and that way they, if they ever get lost, you can find them. They do it to your dogs. They mark cows now and mark farm animals. Why? So they can keep track of them. You say, but they belong to the farmer. Well, that may be. But their claim is, you know, in case of a disease, we can run that stuff down. Oh, they got all kinds of reasons. But the thing of it is that they're setting up the country. They're setting up the world for the Antichrist. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:8 that one day with God is the same as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. When one puts that in perspective, that makes 70 years a vapor, a vapor. The psalmist writes in Psalm 90, verse 9, that our years are like a tale that is told. That is, it just seems like yesterday was such and such. Well, you know how it is. At the recording of this program, I'm 76 years old, and I can tell you right now, my life is a story. It's a tale that's told. It seems just like yesterday. I was 15, 16, 17, 18, waiting to get my driver's license, waiting to drive, waiting to do this. And yeah, and it's a vapor. It's a tale that's told. It's here, it's gone, it's a story, it's it. The psalmist says in life, in Psalm 102, verse 3, is like smoke. In verse 4 of the same psalm, is compared to a shadow. In Psalm 144, verse 4, it says a well. In Psalm 103, verse 15, he says to be like grass and the flower that fadeth away. Can I tell you something, my friend? No matter how you look at it, life is quick and short. And some of you now realize that. If somebody would have told me that, and they probably did when I was 16 or 17, I'd have went, ah, no, I got a lot of time. It's out. It's gone. I'm on the other side of it. I'm on the other side of those three score and ten, those 70 years, Lord, give me. I'm 6 years beyond it. It's just God's grace at this point. James says we need to say, if the Lord will. That is, we make plans, but they always include the fact that God allows us to get tomorrow. If he doesn't allow us to get to tomorrow, then, of course, there is none. So when you plan, my friend, plan to include God in it, would you? If the Lord will, on tomorrow I'm going shopping. You say, well, that's a silly thing. Why is it silly? I might not be here tomorrow. If the Lord will, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such. You say, if the Lord will, why? Because he might not will it to be so. Listen to this here. Proverbs gives you, Solomon, I should say, gives you this proverb in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How much more clear can you get than that? Lord said, don't go boasting about it tomorrow. Why? You don't know what it will bring forth. You might be sick and in bed and not be able to get out of it. You might fall and break your leg. You might do a dozen things. So don't boast yourself. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do that, and I don't care what happens, I'm going to do it. Really? I wonder how many people said that and didn't get to tomorrow. My friend, don't you go around boasting. You don't carry life. You don't carry the ability to change what happens. That's God's business. It would be wise for all of us to realize that we have no promise or assurance of tomorrow other than the fact that if we die, we have a home in heaven. That's the only assurance we have. In verse 16 of chapter 4, he says, But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I just got through saying, don't go boasting about it. You don't know. I think it's self-explanatory. James is simply saying, this boasting about what you're going to do without considering God in it is evil. Think of that. It's evil to plan without including God. Think of that, my friend. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Why? Keep God in it. If you don't, it's evil. Now, that's quite a verse. You need to mark that verse down. You need to memorize that verse. You need to, don't forget that verse is there. Therefore, he says in verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, what do I say here? D.L. Moody had this note in the flyleaf of his Bible at this verse. The sins of ignorance are most numerous. But the sins of knowledge are the most dangerous. How about that? Here's a thought, isn't it? Have you ever heard anyone say they don't sin? I have. Or that since they got saved, they haven't sinned? Well, not only have they made God a liar, 1 John 1, 8-10, but they are one themselves. I said it, you not only make God a liar, but you're a liar yourself. Why? Let me give you just a couple things. There are several places in the Bible that describe what sin is. We not only have this verse in Proverbs 24:9, we learn that the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought. You ever had a foolish thought? Well, sure, preacher, then you sinned. You say, well, I didn't do anything bad, but you did what God's word said is a sin. Quit trying to cover it up with your knowledge. Paul tells us in Romans 14:23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you don't have faith and you practice something, that's sin. You say, preacher, it can't be that easy. It is that easy. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. You ought to be clear that sinning is something we have a hard time avoiding. Dr. Ironside said this, sin is any want of conformity to the will of God. Another commentator said, in any area of life, it's an opportunity to do good makes us responsible to do it. Yeah, what did he say? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is what? It's what? Say it. It is sin. When you know to do good and do not do it, that's sin. I don't care what your preacher says, and I don't care what your mama says. I don't care what Aunt Sadie said, and I don't care what Grandma said and Grandpa. We sin sometimes and don't even realize we've sinned because we're violating something God said not to do. Well, well, preacher, what do we do? Let's go to chapter 5 in the book of James. Let me read you 2 or 3 verses here. We'll continue on our study. I hope that this has been helpful to you in some way, and you'll let us know. Our announcer will give you an address at the end of our program, but that's later on, okay? Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now, everything in this context, keep in mind, are those who are rich during the tribulation and are so because they yielded themselves to the beast and have taken the mark. And these riches are corruptible, he said. And they will go the way of all temporal things go. Revelation 17:18 are a record of what's going to happen to the riches of this world. You ought to write it down. You ought to look at it. Revelation 17:18 are the record of what's going to happen to the riches of this world. The world says, oh, you know, you look out here and see people driving, you know, $45,000 vehicles with $20,000 machinery in it and a $15,000 trailer, and they got hundreds of thousands of dollars and locked up in a cabin in a house and a car and a truck and trailer and all that. The people got money. Or they got a great source of getting to money. But come the tribulation, all of that will be like a cancer. All that will be corrupted. It's cankered. He said gold and silver is cankered. Why? It won't do you any good. It can't save your life. It can't get rid of it. You're stuck. The miseries that they will suffer will no doubt be connected to many, many plagues that will be taking place during this period of time. You're beginning to see a little taste of it with COVID and some other things, and they're not done. No. Don't think the government ever let up. They're just trying a sneaky way to come back. Keep in mind that they might seek to get it over with, but death will escape them. Look at Revelation 9:6. They will cry for the rocks and the hills fall on them, and they're not going to die. They will cry for because of the terrible times, Revelation 6:15-16, and they will get no relief. Listen, you want any relief? Get it now through Jesus Christ and get into heaven. You want relief? Get it now, because you won't get any when this world falls apart. You wonder why it's getting so hot in the desert, and wonder why it's no dry here, and there's no rain here, and there's floods here. The Lord's getting ready for those last days. Now, from the practical standpoint, rich men find that all that they have is rust, rots, and it becomes corrupted. They get sick like you do. They have tragedies just like you. They have accidents just like you, because they're fresh just like you. They might be able to pay for it better than you, or even hide some of it better than you, but it all amounts to the same misery. In the crash of 1929, hundreds of rich men, when they thought the same miseries, when they went through the same miseries as the poor dirt farmer did, the difference was the dirt farmer just stuck it with it, and the rich man killed himself. That's the difference. Verse 2 and 3 of this chapter are pretty self-explanatory. I do want to comment upon the end of verse 3, but we'll probably not be able to get that until next week. The phrase, the last days, will quickly identify this period of time which James is referring to. We know that in the Bible, the phrase is referred to as the period of time which Israel will be faced with judgment of God against her sins. So that takes us through chapter 5 here in the book of James, in lesson number 10. And we've got about, I think, 3 more lessons, and then we'll be done. Would you listen closely now as you get to the end of our program? Our announcer has an address that he can give you, and you could take, please, a little bit of your time to drop us a note and let us know that you listen, and that if it's been helpful to you in some way, or not helpful, whatever it might be, don't lie, tell the truth. We want to be a blessing to you, but at the same time, it is important for us to hear from our listeners. Okay, very important. I can't express to you how important it really is for us to hear from our listeners. So please, for the sake of everything, take the time to drop us a note and let us know that you're here. So lesson number 11 coming up next week. We'll be, in, of course, still in chapter 5 of James. And I think that's going to give us 2 more lessons, maybe 3. And then we'll be done. And we'll see where we go from there. And only God knows what's going to happen between now and then. The Lord willing, that's what we say here. The Lord willing, we'll see you next week at the same time. And hopefully we'll be able to be a blessing and help to you in some manner, in some way. All right? So listen closely now as our announcer will be coming in just a few seconds. And he will give you the information you need to drop us a note. Let us know that you listen to the program, you hear it, it's helpful to you in some way, manner, some way. Please understand how serious I am about this matter of letting us know that you hear. Not that we're going to quit or anything like that. It's just that we need that information when we file with the FCC many times. We need that information that people are listening and they are being helped and they are being blessed. And the only way we're going to know that is if you let us know, okay? So once again, listen closely to our announcer as he gives you the information. Please copy it down. And then drop us a note, let us know that you listen.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.